got through, if he heard there was problems and he wanted to strengthen them, he wrote them a letter. You were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. For through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, take care that you are not consumed by one another. So a warning and an admonition. What should we do as a result of the freedom we have? Okay, love God and love the neighbor as yourself. But that's not what he cited here. Serve one another, okay? Through love. Not because you have to. Not because he's going to break your arm, make you do it. It's because you want to. It's because you love each other. What part of the law strengthens our relationship to each other? Love God. Love God, but also love your neighbor as you love yourself, okay? We heard this one when he tried to be trapped by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? They tried to trap him and says, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, first one is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Second's like that, love your neighbors, love yourself. On that, everything else is built. Everything is built on love. What might consume the Galatians, according to Paul here? Yeah, arguing. What are they doing? They may be, they're free to speak what they think, but what's one of the issues that's going on in Galatia? What's the main issue that's going on in Galatia? Do you remember? Not so much serving other gospels, but one of the themes that Paul has in a lot of his letters is, and this is at the beginning of the missionary journeys. So have they had the Council of Jerusalem yet? No. Way before the Council of Jerusalem. So you have this schism between the Jews and the Gentiles that have become Christians. You got one faction that's saying, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And you got another faction that's saying, I don't, I don't, I don't. And so they're saying, you're wrong. You're wrong with what you're doing because that's not acceptable to God. And that is devouring them. They are devouring each other with their own views on how to follow God. Yep, that's what he said in Galatians 1 also. That's what he had just said in John, when he was questioned by the Pharisees, when he went into the temple, was he said, there's one truth. If you're all in that one truth, you're going to be unified. But if you start having individual truths, you're going to divide yourself up. And that's what's happened in Galatia. Continuing on. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you might not do the things that you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. For the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So it goes into some detail here when he's talking to those in Galatia. If we seek to enforce a will, we fall in the flesh or the Spirit? The flesh, okay? If we're trying to do our will, we're enforcing the flesh. Is there a third option? Can you either follow the flesh or follow the Spirit and say, well, I'm not really following either? No. Okay? There's no middle ground. You're either following yourself or you're following God. Is there consistency according to the world? And, you know, if you look at those things that are there, would people say they're all kind of the same level of severity? The ones that I got underlined. Huh? Big sin, yeah. There's the seven deadly sins that some pick out and everything like that. It's like, and I, you know, I love the illustration of what sin is. Sin is to miss the mark, okay? The mark is the will of God, a red bullseye. And if I'm shooting at it and I miss it by a tenth of an inch. If I shoot the arrow and I miss that way, I missed. There is no difference. You missed. I missed. But you look at that immorality as opposed to maybe strife. The world would look at that as to say, well, you know, there's a little thing here, a big thing here. But there's consistency in the standpoint, it all separates you from God. It all destroys fellowship. It all destroys unity. It all pulls us apart when we do those kinds of things. Is Paul addressing Christians or non-Christians here? Christians. That's a pretty nasty list for Christians, isn't it? If they're doing those kinds of things, how can you fellowship with each other? You can't. As soon as you sit down to sit, you know, our favorite fellowship is to eat together, but as soon as you sit down together with each other, it's probably going to end up in an argument. Or at least somebody saying something to someone that they should have just not said. If you've got a bad comment you want to make about somebody and a Christian, swallow it. If you don't have anything good to say, this is for me, try not to say anything at all. Or try and say something that's positive. Sometimes with some folks, it's hard. But it's not. Does anybody like to be criticized? Nobody likes to be criticized. It's generally never positive. That I've ever seen is never positive. People will take it and say, do something with it, possibly. But what they do with it, you may not like. Okay. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So he's got a mix in there. All these good things, but he says, we don't want to do the bad things. What effects do the deeds of the flesh have versus the effects of the fruits of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit. It's actually singular. What effects? Huh?
Determines where we're going to spend eternity.
Okay. Faith determines where we're going to spend eternity, doesn't it? We're saved by our faith. Isn't that what Paul says?
These are works of faith.
These are works of faith. The deeds, don't they divide? Don't they pull us all apart? And doesn't the fruit of the Spirit pull us all together? I mean, it is a stark contrast between the two lists, if you look at them. One pulls us apart, one joins us together. About the folks in Thessalonica. But we request you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. So this is near the end with Paul talking to those in Thessalonica. End of the chapter. What does he urge the Thessalonians to do as far as other Christians? It's got four things. That's it. That's it. Those four he just said. Admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. What would be the opposite of those four areas? Huh? Encourage the unruly, admonish the faint-hearted, pray on the weak, be intolerant with everyone. That would be the opposite. I've seen where we've had a young set of Christians come in here, and sometimes we'll say, hey, I haven't seen you here before. Gee, I must not have seen you. Or some other comment. And with brand new Christians that are seeking God, it is most important to be careful about what you say, because they are not going to darken the doors again. They will not stick around to fellowship at all. My skin's pretty thick. So people say something to me, and at times it bothers me a lot, and sometimes it doesn't bother me that much. But it's not going to keep me away. But particularly here, where he has encouraged the faint-hearted. Faint-hearted are those who are really struggling. They may be brand new or whatever it is, and they really need encouragement. And that's where the wrong thing said can destroy them, and the right thing said can really help lift them up. And that's why that third one is admonish the faint-hearted versus encourage the faint-hearted. Don't admonish them. Don't think you're doing a good thing. And that's for me, too. Okay? That can destroy things. About in Ephesians, when he's talking to Ephesus. How long was he at Ephesus? How long was Paul at Ephesus? Everybody knows this. 3 years. Okay, so he was there quite a while. So this is the letter he writes after he had been away from them for a while. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a worthy manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Does this message sound familiar from Paul? Didn't we just see it in Galatians? And just see it in the one to Thessalonica? Same kind of things that he's talking about everybody. So it's everybody has these things that Paul admonishes them to do. What's the common thread on how we treat each other? What is it, Wanda? Love. But it's all in love. What he has here is he has several things here that he says. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance. But it's all in love. What do they produce? What do they work together to produce? Unity. Unity. Working together as one. Paul talks about the body when he talks about the different parts of the body. I talked about the church organization as different parts of the body. If they're all working against each other, you're not going to get anything done. What would arrogance, harshness, impatience, and intolerance produce? Those are the antonyms of those four. Divisions, disharmony. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in the righteousness and holiness of truth. Remember the message from Jesus and John? If you're teaching and you're seeking God, you're teaching the truth and you're righteous. Contrast living for yourself and pursuing your own desires versus living for God and pursuing His desires. I think that's the point that Paul is trying to make here as well, is he's building on what Christ had said. Let's go on forth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor performing his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Paul loves the Greek style of the argument where he says, here's the positives, here's the negatives. And he's got both of them on this passage. So what are we to put away? Huh?
Falsehood.
Anger. If you get angry, don't get angry where you sin. And resolve it before the end of the day. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Clamor is kind of agitation. People that are going to say, I want to get my way and I'm going to go stir up as many people as I can. Which builds factions within the church. Slander, malice, all those things. He said, you should have put those away. If you take something away, the universe hates a vacuum. If you take something away, you got to put something in there, don't you? What do you got to put in there? Kindness, tenderhearted. Kind to one another, love. It's all in love. It's all got to be wrapped up in love, okay? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? That's Godlike. Because He saved us. Because what He did, isn't it? God's forgiven us. Because why He's forgiven us and the way we treat Him. And He's forgiven us. Why should we do it to each other? Romans. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all righteousness, wicked, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they do not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. How does this differ from the list that we looked at so far? Only got 15 minutes. It's similar. But I would say there's some things that are pretty extreme in there. When you look at being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, murder, haters of God, arrogant, there's some pretty significant words in there. I'll let you know that what precedes this particular paragraph in Romans is people who are doing things that are basically an abomination to God. So at this particular time, he's not really talking, and I'm going to ask you about that. He's not really talking about Christians. But what areas are familiar? There's a few that have already gone over another list that he is talking to Christians. Slanders, strife, malice. They're in that list. They're in that same list of people who are an abomination to God. Okay, I already said that one. So in Corinth, all this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ. And all of you, upbuilding, beloved, for I'm afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I'm afraid that when I come again, my God will humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of you who have sinned in the past and have not repented of impurity, immorality, sensuality, which they have practiced. So this is the letter to those at Corinth. So we've talked about those in Galatia, those in Thessalonica, those in Ephesus, and now finally those in Corinth. They're all having the same problems. They're all having problems we have today. And that's what tends to divide us. That's what tends to destroy our fellowship. What's Paul been trying to do? It's in the first. Trying to build them up. He's trying, they call them upbuilding here, but it's build them up. He's trying to make them where they can be effective as Christians in a world that doesn't like Christianity. What's he concerned about? What's he worried has happened or is going to happen? They'll fall back. Okay. They start seeking themselves. When you start seeking yourselves, you're going to start seeking what you want versus what's in the truth. The result of that, some people are going to agree, some people aren't going to agree. So you're going to end up with the strife, the jealousy. Hey, that one's working over there. They're winning. We got to win. Angry tempers, disputes, slanders, gossip, arrogance. Hey, do you know he did this? I'm going to destroy them as a person. And that way, what they want will lose and I'll win. You see that at the workplace, don't you? I mean, the workplace can be tough. People work in politics, okay? They call it politics. You're not supposed to be working politics in the church. What's Paul afraid of in this context? Church not being the church, okay? I think part of it is they never really changed. They got wet. But they never really changed. Their heart didn't change. And we've talked about that over and over again in this class. Not this class is Doug and Weldon and myself is. There has to be love in it. Otherwise, you're not going to change. That's the foundation for your changing. Love God, love your neighbor. If that's not there, you're not going to change. Okay. Here in 2 John. Now we're getting way into the time when the church is established. So this is near the end. Most of the apostles by now have probably been killed. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in his teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. This does harken back to the first slide I talked about in John, where Christ says, if you're seeking yourself, you're not righteous. If you're seeking God and seeking the truth, you're righteous. Or you're not unrighteous, is the way he said it. What's John talking about the division of the body? That's right, the inconsistency. They're teaching different things, two different things. What was going on in the church that John's talking about here? This one here is late. This is not Jews and Gentiles. This is pretty much past the Jews and Gentiles. John's talking about the Gnostics. It says Christ never really came in the flesh. He was kind of a spirit the whole time, and like that. And it was, what does that do to the gospel? What does that do to, when you talk about the death, burial, and resurrection? Destroys it. Absolutely destroys it when you start talking about that. So that teaching is what John's talking about here. And he's, what he's saying is, some people were going over to the say, hey, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. That's probably what really happened. And you got the group that's trying to teach the truth. And these people come in and teach those kinds of things. They're going to form factions. They're going to cause division. And you're going to have an impact to your fellowship, a negative impact. And what he's saying is don't let them in. Don't let them teach those things. Well, yeah. Let's apply it to everything we don't agree with.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's a difference where Paul talks about, you know, some people observe a holiday, some people don't, some people eat food, and some people don't. That's not what this is talking about. That verse is not talking about differences in opinion. That verse is talking about the truth. When somebody wants to pollute the truth, that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about opinions. Jude. We don't study Jude much. There's no chapter number because there's only one chapter in Jude. Actually, in the original Greek, it must have been tough because there was no punctuation. No periods, no commas, no paragraphs, no nothing. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers following their own ungodly lusts. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Again, this is in the end of times when the apostles are around. Okay, what does Jude say can cause divisions? Divisive people. Okay, they're bringing in things that are their own ungodly lusts. If it's, remember we talked about there's one or the other, there's not a third option. Ungodly lusts are what? Your own lusts. Those are ungodly lusts. Okay? Desiring after your own views over God are what he's talking about. Mockers who follow their own ungodly lusts, they cause divisiveness, worldly-mindedness. Okay, that's what he's talking about. He said it's going to come in. And you see, it has come in. Okay, how will what produces division be manifested? Wearing you out this morning? factions, outbursts, intolerance, disharmony. I mean, you're going to see that if there is this strong views that come in from the world that's not according to the truth. If they're coming in here, not seeking the truth, but seeking themselves, you think they're going to be quiet? You think they're not going to try and build a faction or a coalition that supports them and change things? Absolutely. Absolutely.
We see a lot of the mockers and so forth in our world today, you know, with the issues that are so prevalent in our society. And the mockers saying that, you know, we need to, you know, this is my body, I'll do what I want to.
Well, that's part of it. Right. It's a self-focus versus a God focus. In our society, are Christians extolled or mocked? Mocked, pretty much. And when they do something good. So finally into James. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. This kind of goes back to me, the biggest thing that's a risk to fellowship is what we say to each other. And the risk is bigger and bigger as you have a newer and newer Christian. Those that have been around here for a long time, okay, we've heard it before, people are going to criticize you. But a new Christian, it is not a good idea. Somebody who gets up for the first time or the first few times lead songs. Somebody goes up there and says, you know, you really, really screwed up that second song. We got people that do that. You think they're going to get back up there and lead a song again? Most of them, no. Or lead a prayer? And somebody comes up and says, you know, I couldn't hear a word you said. Really? Really? That's not helping. If you got something negative to say, swallow it. It's my best advice. Think of something positive you can say. And it's not always easy. Sometimes, I'll tell you, I know I get up there and I blow a song. Or I may mumble when I'm up there doing announcements. But it hurts me when somebody comes up and says, you know, I really didn't like that. I remember when I was leading songs and I was told, you know, you're really not doing a very good job. I almost told them to say, well, take it and stick it. I don't want to do it anymore. It will affect you. It will affect everybody. Go ahead.
Does something that, like, it shouldn't, to pluck it out, that it's a...
Well, I think he said if your eye sees something it doesn't like, to pluck your eye out. If your hand does something it shouldn't do, cut your hand off. Yeah. It's better to do that than lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Well, is where he's talking about that. It's, yeah, yeah. But the... It Yeah, you replay them. You replay them, and every time you replay them, you turn the volume up, you know? This is James.
The small rudder there on a big ship, you know? It's just a small thing, but man, it pushes a big ship around.
It can move that ship around. Does the tongue play a part in all these things? You betcha. All those things that he's been talking about don't do, that's where the tongue plays a big role in it. Yes, absolutely. Or we got them in the door and then they're not here anymore. Why aren't they here? You find out somebody said something.
Yeah.
They were well-meaning when they said it, but they didn't think about what they were saying. Is the initiator of these things, what is the initiator of these things perpetuates? Okay, the tongue. How much of it a challenge to bridle our tongue? Huge, okay? Okay, and it's going to fail us. One time or another, it's going to fail us. My last verse. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Have you ever heard somebody have the expression, they say, and you kiss your mom with your mouth, with that mouth? You know, when somebody's saying something that they shouldn't? How duplicitous is the tongue? And that's the last one. It's very. Shouldn't be, but it is. All these metaphors, fruit, fountain, what is that getting to? It's the very core. What comes out of the fountain is at the core of the earth. What comes from the fruit is at the core of what the tree really is. And what comes out of your mouth, the core of what you are. Watch out what you say. Thank you.